and rough.
Oh no. Wait. Okay, good.
Okay.
Never prepare.
That's our motto.
No, I just said hi.
Hello.
Is that okay? Should we just start over?
We should start. Okay. Good. Welcome back to Smell You Later.
Hey.
Hello. I'm Sable, your co-host.
I'm Tynan, your other co-host. And this is a podcast about scents.
And smell.
It's a Thursday. We never record on a Thursday.
I know.
I feel so young and sexy.
The night is young.
I know. I used to get so drunk on Thursdays. And now I just record a podcast with you.
How times have changed.
I know. This is years
back. We've grown.
I know. This is just as good.
Yeah. What's going on this week? What happened? We have a new president.
Oh, did we? Did we get a new president?
Yeah, that's
this
true.
Is too dark. Like, can we not go down this road? Keeping it in, though. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good. It's getting into fall proper. I feel like it's like, ooh, it's a little crisp. And then it's like, just kidding. It's 70 degrees and sunny now.
Totally.
And then it's actually, never mind. It's fucking cold and wet.
It'll do that. It'll be like, it's 70 degrees and sunny and also raining.
Yeah.
For 2 days straight. Mm-hmm. And that's where we are right now.
Yeah.
I like fall.
I love fall, but daylight savings time fucks me up.
This year, it's hitting super hard. It's hitting extra hard.
Yeah.
It hit different this year. Well, I mean, because we can't leave our house.
I know. It's so depressing.
Ugh.
At like 5 o'clock, it's fucking pitch black.
I know. I hate all of those memes that are like regular depression, seasonal depression, pandemic depression, but it's like they're not wrong.
I'm not trying to tell anyone how to cope with their depression, but part of me is like the over memification of mental health issues. I'm like, is this healthy?
Yeah, no, sorry. I thought you were fully going to say, can we not with daylight savings time? And I was like, the full rejection of just a world concept is very up my alley. So yes, we can. But
fully that. Mm-hmm. But sometimes memes about mental health, it's like when you laugh because you're uncomfortable and you're like, ha 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 ha, wait.
Well, that's why we're here, to give you something to make you smile.
Yeah.
You know?
Smells make me happy.
Same.
Most of them.
We're back for another episode. Again, are you sick of us saying this? We're very excited about this one. It's going to be great.
We're always stoked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, if you're not stoked for this episode, which I'm assuming you are because you clicked on it and you're listening to it, tell us what episodes would you like to hear from us? Who would you like to have on?
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Please be our talent division.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if there's something you're interested in hearing about that we have not touched on, we are open to ideas.
Crowdsourcing.
Yeah,
for real. I love to crowdsource.
You're all in our DMs anyway. Just let us know what you want to hear.
We would love to know it.
We would love to know it.
And then decide.
I've been screenshotting people's little suggestions and putting them in our shared folder.
Oh, yeah, so yeah.
We're thinking.
We're listening.
We're thinking.
We're perceiving.
Yeah. I do not want to be perceived or to perceive.
How did that become a thing?
I don't know.
I love it, but I don't know where it came
from. Has this gone off the rails?
It's gone off the rails. Truly. My life has gone off the rails.
Sable.
Yes.
What do you smell like today?
I smell like Krigler English Promenade 19. This is one of my first Krigler fragrances. I was always aware of the brand because they're very old world and extremely fancy.
So I have not been aware of the brand. I was going to say, can you give us a rundown?
Sure. So they were founded in 1904 by Albert Krigler, who I believe is like a German dude who just like really loved perfume. His first perfume was an engagement gift to his wife. That one was called Pleasure Garden 04, I believe. And he based that fragrance on a painting of Japanese gardens in the Moscow Museum. There's a lot going on there. That one's really pretty. It smells like gardenias, you know. Mm-hmm. It is what you think a lady would smell like in 1904.
Sure.
So, and I guess this dude was just like, yo, this perfume is off the hook. It got me a wife. I'm going to make perfumes now.
Yeah.
So he just kept going. Mm-hmm. And it's a family-run business, which I always think is precious. And a lot of the scents have gotten notoriety or fame because celebrities and Hollywood stars would wear them. And they would often claim them to be like their lucky scents. You know, people have like lucky fragrances. And this one, English Promenade 19, the number is for the year. So it was made in 1919, is the perfume that Audrey Hepburn wore when filming Roman Holiday. I don't know why she chose this one, but maybe it's because this is meant to embody the scent of the Italian Riviera. It's very floral. It's a orange blossom, grapefruit, neroli, ylang ylang, which I love to say, all together of which sounds like a friggin' bouquet. But honestly, to me, it's so unexpected. It's weirdly like a sweet, spicy musk. I think the sweetness comes from the flowers, but I really get spicy musk, which I love. It's so gorgeous. It smells to me like what a young Hollywood starlet would smell like in the 1950s. It's just sweet and effervescent and warm, very warm and comforting.
I will say that you have that Kriegler fragrance out right here. You have that one. Mm. And then that candle is Kriegler too, or no?
Yes.
Yes. So anything that like came out before Baby One More Time, I'm always like, old. No, all of these scents are really stunning. I think they're all gorgeous in their own way and they're super different. So I was not aware of Kriegler beforehand, but now I have to say you have quickly turned me into a fan.
They are gorgeous. I have them because I'm doing research for a story I'm writing. So I had them sent to me and I got to speak to Ben Kriegler, who I believe is the great, great grandson of Albert. So like I said, it's a family run business. And he was so fun to talk to. And like in the middle of our interview, he was like, oh my God, you remind me so much of Audrey Hepburn. Like we should send her the Audrey Hepburn scent. So they did. And I actually ended up loving it. But mostly I was just like, skirt. Like, wait, I'm sorry. Like, do you know Audrey? Like, isn't she dead? Like what?
Yeah. Do you like, have a personal relationship with her?
Well, part of me is like, she probably knew one of your family members at some point, like back in the day.
Yeah.
If she was like such a fan. I'm like thinking of all those like old 1950s ads, like where people would use like mid-Atlantic accents. And it's like, I never leave the house without wearing my Kriegler.
Like, oh my God, I'm dying.
Like, I'm sure like she was, you know, doing the soundbite. So I'm like, that's really cool.
It's cool that they have such a legacy with like the whole Hollywood scene. Yeah, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of their scents are really interesting. And like, apparently, if you're like rich and important enough, you can have them make you a custom scent.
Oh.
And they put it in their normal collection.
What?
Yeah.
So you have to be like really rich.
Yeah. No. Like a couple of their scents were just made by clients.
Huh.
And then they're like, that's like part of the deal. They'll tell you, they're like, cool, we'll make you a scent, but you know, we're also going to sell it like in our stores and stuff. And they're like, well, who wouldn't want that?
Right. It's a celebrity scent.
Yeah. But like, how fucking cool is that?
That's very cool.
I want to be that rich one day.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to have someone make us a fragrance, which they're going to.
Kriegler, make us a fragrance.
Yeah, come on.
You can sell it. It's fine. We'll allow it. Tynan, what do you smell like today?
I'm not going to lie to you, Sable.
Why would you?
I smell so fucking good. I am wearing a scent that I just love, and it is one of my, I would say like top 20 fragrances. Ooh. It is Nicole by Nicole Richie.
What?
I swear to God.
Not what I was expecting.
I know. It is so good. And I'm going to tell you why. So this fragrance came out in 2012. This was after she launched House of Harlow, which is her like clothing, accessory, lifestyle brand. And it is not a part of that, which is sort of interesting to me that she launched it under her own name to, you know, bank on that. But what I like about this is not only is it a really fantastic, beautiful scent, but it has a really good story behind it. Like there is a concept and a through line through the entire thing. And it really like pays off the initial thought. So the story is her mom growing up, she was from the South and she would always be slathered in like really beautiful body oils and lotions. So she always smelled kind of like an expensive oil. And this fragrance is made to emulate that. And I think that's really beautiful and really powerful. And I remembered this one specific quote that I actually tracked down by Nicole Richie about this fragrance. And I think it just really sums it up really nicely and really quickly for you. I have a very traditional Southern mom. You never left the house without lotion. Over her lotion went oil and perfume. She was very put together from head to toe. It wasn't just a one-dimensional smell. There were many different layers, Nicole Richie explained to Women's Wear Daily. And truly, like, this is what the fragrance smells like. At the top, there's blackberry and orange. In the middle, there's amber and Moroccan rose. At the bottom, there's patchouli, vanilla, cashmere, and sandalwood. But none of that really means anything. It just smells like a really beautiful, luxurious oil. To me, it's a big amber balm with a lot of citrus to sort of give it a little more zest. It is really beautiful. I think it nails it. I don't know why I'm stuttering through this. I'm so sorry. I wear it all the time. a few times a month. And I know a lot of people talk a lot of shit about celebrity fragrances, and I understand why, you know, a lot of it is deserved, but I do maintain that a lot of them are very, very good.
A lot of them are great.
Yeah. And this one, it's not just, you know, a lot of them are really great scents that are put out under the brand of a celebrity. And this one, even if that is still the case, the story really sells it into me. And I just think there's, you know, a concept, and I think it does what it does really well.
Yeah, mom smells.
Mom smells.
They're always good.
But it doesn't smell like, you know, a mom would smell. You know what I mean? I don't know. It
I
just
don't know
like,
what kind of mom are we talking
I
about.
I don't know. It doesn't smell like your mom's perfume, you know? Yeah, though my mom had a really good perfume. So yeah. It's great. I think it's great. It just makes me really happy. And it's like great for all year round. You know.
Nicole Richie. I liked her House of Harlow line.
It's good.
It was that like boho chic era of the Olsen twins and their Balenciaga moto bags. That was a time.
It was also like accessible too, which I thought was pretty cool.
I think I had a couple pieces of the jewelry.
The jewelry was so cool.
Yeah.
It like remains cool to this day.
I was into it back when I wore jewelry.
She's so cool. She's so funny.
Never met her. Couldn't say.
We should have her on the show.
Okay, sure. Yeah, Nicole.
I'll check her out. I bet you she would do the show just because like I'm the one and only stan of her fragrance that I'm sure she has long forgotten about.
That one boy who likes my perfume.
That one boy. The same nose who did, Nicole, did the first and iconic Paris Hilton scent.
Of course.
Which people love that scent.
Her perfumes do really well.
Really, really well. Yeah. And Paris Hilton, the scent, is on par in terms of ubiquity as Curious by Britney Spears. It's always like, I wore Curious in middle school. I wore Paris Hilton. Yep. I don't like the Paris Hilton scent like at all. I like Curious a lot, as you know. He also did Fancy Nights by Jessica Simpson, which Karen Nesvig insists is a dupe for Byredo 1996.
Whoa.
Which I still need to investigate.
We gotta do a smell test.
And I will.
Sniff test.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right tonight. I'm sure it's like $17 on Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
Not that I shop on Amazon. There I go. They all just signed off and unsubscribed.
We're going to edit that out. Anyway, I mean, speaking of accessible scents.
Oh, yeah.
Our guest for today is one of the most, I want to say ubiquitous, but apparently not. But like, I feel like everyone has a Demeter. Sorry. Apparently it's Demeter, not Demeter.
We thought it was Demeter.
We really thought it was Demeter. So I feel like everybody has had a Demeter experience where they're like, oh my God, that weird one, like the angel food cake or like the holy water. I remember the holy water scent. Like everyone's like aware of it or you can clock the packaging.
Yeah. You know when you see it.
Yeah.
For sure.
That was like such a big thing when I was a teenager and in college. They were like, what, less than $20 at Ricky's.
Yeah, they're still dirt cheap.
Yeah, they're still pretty cheap. They have just like scores and scores of fragrances.
Yeah, so if the listener at home doesn't know what Demeter is,
Demeter.
Yeah.
It's fucking with my brain.
Yeah. If you don't know what Demeter is, it is a very expansive line of very affordable fragrances. Most of them are based off of one note or one thing. So there will be a Demeter basil.
Yeah.
There will be a Demeter angel food cake or, you know, chocolate chip cookie. Yeah. The list goes on and on. So it's definitely made to emulate one specific thing. Mm-hmm. And if there's anything you want to smell like, chances are that you're going to find it in the Demeter line. Like actually.
They have dirt.
Yeah. They have holy water. They have a lot of things.
Pineapple. Yes. So, of course, naturally, we had to investigate.
Yeah.
So we have the current founder, Mark Crames, on the pod today to talk about what's not called Demeter because it's Demeter. And that's still not, my brain is still working around that.
We're learning a lot today.
Yes. So before I say Demeter again, let's get to our interview.
My name is Mark Crames. I'm the owner and head perfumer at Demeter Fragrance Library.
Perfect.
And how long has Demeter been around for?
Well, Demeter was started in 1996 by Christopher Brocious and Christopher Gable, Brocious being the first perfumer. And I bought the company in 2002 and took it over completely in 2004. So I've been running it for the better part of 20 years at this point.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So you've been in it for the long haul.
Yeah, at this point, our imprint is definitely upon it. I say our because I run it with my wife, Deborah.
Nice.
I love that. I love a couple run business.
So for our listeners who may not be familiar, can you just give us all a little bit of a rundown on Demeter and maybe what sets it apart from a typical fragrance brand?
Demeter really starts out with a unique perspective on fragrance. If you want to think about most designer and prestige fragrances today, I think a fair analogy is to impressionistic painting. You're trying to create a feeling, an idea. It's imprecise, and it's also very personal in the sense that the vision that someone sees is not necessarily the vision someone else tried to create. With Demeter, we're the photorealism of the fragrance industry. I want to capture the thing itself, the familiar and wonderful smells that surround us every day, and make you realize how freaking wonderful they really can be. So, for example, one of our fragrances is Cosmopolitan Cocktail. But that Cosmopolitan Cocktail was inspired by one that I had on the back porch of the Sonoma Inn at sunset. It was the perfect Cosmopolitan Cocktail. Wow. Everything about it. And that's the experience I wanted to deliver. Every time you smell one of our fragrances that's inspired by a familiar object or experience, I want you to absolutely sit back and say, wow.
I love that. You're very good at this already. You have a very good element.
Well, like I said, we're starting with my favorite topic. It's not that difficult.
Why do you think so many people respond to Demeter scents that are, like you said, inspired by one singular specific thing?
Well, it doesn't take an interpretation or an understanding or a flight of fancy to enjoy a Demeter fragrance. The fragrance industry grew up over many years surrounded by mystery. And so much of it was in prestige and designer fragrance has been marketing rather than the fragrance itself. So we set out just to create another direction. For us, there's very little marketing involved, but it's all about what goes inside the bottle. We're underpackaged for a reason. It's all about everything that's inside.
I love the design and how it's, like you said, under-designed like that, because especially with fragrance, I feel like so much is put into the presentation and the packaging to kind of woo, you know, the potential wearer or consumer. And with Demeter, it just has that air of mystery, but at the same time, it's very approachable.
And it's truly like all about the scent. If it takes away like any sexiness from the bottle, you're only focused on what's inside it.
And that's who we are. I worked in the fragrance industry, the designer fragrance industry, for 20 years before I started working with Demeter.
Oh, wow.
And I had come to the conclusion that 90%, 95% of the fragrances were in a very narrow range of fruity florals. A big change in a fragrance meant that we used yuzu instead of lemon for the top note. There's so many wonderful smells to experience and appreciate. And in the fragrance industry, like the movie industry, it's become so expensive. Most of us can't afford a $200 or $300 or $400 bottle of fragrance. So for the vast majority of us, that's not really helpful in appreciating this category.
That is true. We were just talking about the cost of fragrance and how designer fragrances, like the stuff you would find in department stores, it's what, like maybe $60 to $100, depending on the size and concentration. But nowadays with niche artisanal fragrances, it can go from like $200 to $300 or even $500 for a bottle.
Yeah, it's prohibitive a lot of the time. And to be honest, we love a lot of those scents, but it's also like we realize that, you know, not everyone can access them, and we're getting them all for free, and we also realize that. So
we're very spoiled. Yes. But I always wonder, like, why a scent is $500 versus, you know, $100. Like, is it truly the ingredients, or is it just a lot of marketing?
That's an interesting question. I think that it's ingredients is absolutely a piece of it. Especially there are perfumers, artisanal perfumers now, who are actually creating their own oils. And that's a very time-consuming, hand-driven process. But on the whole, yes, ingredients matter, but that only gets you to a point. When you're talking about something being $200, $300, $400, $500, that probably has a lot more to do with the fact that they're just not making a lot of it. So you've got to spread out all those development costs over a lot fewer bottles. You're not going out and saying, well, I'm going to start and make 50,000 bottles.
Right. They're not going to, you know, recoup profits by volume.
Right. So you're saying, yeah, I'm going to make 500 for all of time. I'm going to make 500 of these. What do I have to charge for them for it to make sense? And since it doesn't really seem like the market has resisted that $200-$400 price point, why stop?
That is true.
I think something, not to just like gas Demeter up because they're on the show, but I think something that I've always thought is great is not only do you guys do so many singular fragrances, but you, one, keep your price point very, very low, especially in the fragrance landscape, but two, you offer different sizes so you can truly try out like a tiny bit of the scent. If you're scared, you're not going to like it, and you know, pay just a couple of bucks to do so. So you're really not out anything, and I think you're, you know, not only paying for the scent itself, but the excitement and experience of doing so. And I think it's just, accessibility to me is very important as we talk about $500 fragrances. But
well,
I think,
and it's one of our core principles. There's a reason that we maintain those price points and we create those smaller sizes. And it's not because it's necessarily a great way to make money.
How many Demeter scents are there?
I would like to tell you that I know the exact number, but I'd be lying. It's in the 300 range.
Oh my God.
Jeez.
I was going to say, I was like, is it 50? Is it 100? Like,
you know, and we don't even bother to actually count because there's always something new coming out and always something old that's being removed. So it's always a bit of a moving target anyway.
Wow. How often do you replace scents or introduce new ones?
You know, everything's a little different these days, but traditionally we've launched between 12 and 15 fragrances a year.
Wow.
Okay.
And after my wife got done yelling at me that that was too many, we tried to target on six. But, you know, I really like my children. So when I make these fragrances, I want them out in the world succeeding.
Yeah, definitely.
But we try and keep it down now to around six or eight a year. And I'm not really overly successful at that.
So when I think about a Demeter fragrance like basil or pineapple, something that we have all pretty much experienced and we can probably, you know, put our finger on the scent, not trying too hard. What do you think makes people want to wear that as a fragrance, even though we already know what that's like? You know, why do you think they want to experience that in a different way throughout their everyday lives?
Well, I think there's at least three pieces to that. And one starts with our ability, you know, our superpower is to make not just a pineapple fragrance, but the ripest, juiciest, greatest pineapple you've ever experienced in your life. So we try and start out by hitting a different kind of high. The second piece is really all about scent and memory. That pineapple, in our example, means something to you, whether it's just the sweetness, whether it's something that mom gave you for a snack, whether the best vacation you ever had was in Hawaii when you ate one right off the tree. Whatever it is, somewhere in that sense memory and your experience with pineapple is evoking that positive feeling. And in the end of the day, everything related to fragrance is about memory and emotion. Your sense of smell drives the most powerful, most visceral emotional reactions of any of your senses. So we're trying to take advantage of that. And people who use Demeter are generally evoking that feeling in themselves, whether that's a calm or an energetic or just a pleasurable experience. I mean, I made chocolate chip cookie because my grandmother was a fantastic baker. Same thing with vanilla cake batter. Those were very important smells to me. And every time I smell them, I feel my shoulders relax and I just feel better.
Sort of going off that same question, when you are creating a fragrance to emulate, you know, a pineapple or a basil that is one note rather than, you mentioned Cosmopolitan, which is a cocktail made of a couple of things. So I assume that the scent would be made of a couple of things. When you are making one to emulate one specific thing, how do you do that? Do you pull notes from other things or do you just try to distill the most pure form of the one thing that you're trying to create?
When we're talking about a note, we're talking about a group of materials that create a recognizable smell, but will not change over time. And it's the last part of that that's really critical. That's what defines it as a note, that it doesn't change. The complex designer fragrances we're used to have that dry down that changes over time, which are those individual notes naturally mm-hmm. expressing themselves at different times. So the question really is, how do we make a note? And the answer is, there can be 100 different materials in that note. And that's why my jasmine fragrance, which is a single note fragrance, can be radically different from someone else who makes a jasmine fragrance like Erlene. Because the perfumers, we may start with a similar material, and even then only similar, because jasmine's going to be different depending on either where you bought your natural materials or how you're emulating it synthetically. But then the perfumer has his own approach or her own approach to that that changes that. So for my jasmine, for example, I actually worked off of a jasmine tea from 100-year-old vines. Wow. That was the scent that to me really spoke the most about how the smell of jasmine impacted me. Now, if I didn't tell you that that was a tea, you wouldn't know it. Mm-hmm. But I happened to find a rare tea on a trip to China in Beijing, and that became the target for our jasmine, which is one of our best-selling florals. That's certainly a different approach than I'm sure somebody else took at a different time.
Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, jasmine also, you can find it in, you know, a couple of places in the world. So I feel like depending on where it comes from will also change.
Where it comes from and a number of different versions anyway that have somewhat different smells.
Right. Now I'm curious what the other best-selling Demeter fragrances are.
Our best-selling fragrances these days are actually most of the transparent synthetic musks like baby powder, kitten's fur, pure soap, clean skin, and puppy's breath, which is new and only took me 20 years to do.
Can you talk about that?
I think the name puppy's breath is probably very alluring as it is, because like everyone knows fragrance names, you know, really can grab a person or repel them.
Repel.
Yes, I'll tell you a good repel story.
Yeah.
New Baby is one of our most popular fragrances.
I could see that.
Which is that just what it sounds like, that really creamy, slightly citrusy New Baby smell. Mm-hmm. Very hard to do for technical reasons and took us a long time. But when people wrote to me and asked for it, they invariably called it Baby's Head. Mm. So the working name was Baby's Head. You know, and people are talking about, you know, the crown of the head.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, we launched it and got all ready to launch it at Baby's Head. And thank God someone pointed out just how creepy that was.
Yeah.
And at the last moment, we changed the name to New Baby.
As opposed to an old baby, yeah.
As opposed to Baby's Head. Like
right.
Yeah. Body.
Yeah, I can see that not going the right way.
So, you know, those are always issues for, you can go either way on those things.
Right. Mm. Do you have an opinion on why those sort of skin scent, musky scents are doing so well right now? And when did that shift?
I think that started about 10 years ago. And what those fragrances really are, harken back to more of the traditional French idea of a fragrance being between a woman and her lover. You know, you go back to the 80s, the advent of Giorgio Beverly Hills and the idea of these big, bold American fragrances that could take over a room when you walked in.
Yeah.
And that was a trend for a long time. And I felt about 10, 12 years ago, it started to shift back to that more personal, more subtle kind of statement. And those fragrances have continued to be really strong for us over that period.
I could see that. I feel like with the advent of social media, especially about 10 years ago, I'd say this kind of rise of individualism and authenticity just kind of overtook every part of someone's life. So I could totally see why skin scents and personal scents would also be incorporated in that.
I can't. Why? Like, don't you want to smell like something? Like, why do you want to smell like skin? You have that. You already smell
like
that.
It's like skin, but a little special. I don't know. I think, well, I mean, that's interpretive. Yeah, like, that's, you know. It's subjective.
Well, that's my pop psych theory. I mean, I myself am a big patchouli fan, so I go in the other direction.
I love patchouli.
But I'm an old guy. So, you know,
patchouli is so beautiful.
We know
though.
What we know.
Right.
It's beautiful if done properly. The problem with patchouli is that most people have smelled some cheap synthetic version of it that reminds them of dirty feet. That is really not helpful to the subtle beauty and depth that patchouli can hold.
Absolutely.
So we use an all natural patchouli that's microfractionated and is as light and sweet as could be. You get a different kind of result.
I have recently been seeing that. I'm not sure what you just said. Fractionated,
microfractionated.
In fragrance,
basically just the lightest part, lightest sweetest part of the oil.
Mm. Oh, okay. It's good to know. We're learning so much today.
I also could have bastardized the term, so let's just move on.
Yeah, okay. Okay. We won't quote you.
We'll Google it later.
Yeah, we screw enough shit up anyway. That's fine.
Thank you.
Is there a Demeter scent that you really wanted to create but didn't make the cut? Or Demeter, sorry.
There are several that I've tried. By the way, you know, the original pronunciation was Demeter. It's based on the Greek goddess of agriculture.
That's what I thought. And then you said Demeter, and it blew my mind.
By the time I bought the company in 2002, it had already been Americanized, and I stopped fighting that fight a long, long time ago. There's several, and it's because I can't get them right. If I could get it right, the one that comes to mind first is cola.
Yeah, hell yeah. The reason
there's no cola fragrance in the library is because no matter what I do, it smells like flat soda, not living soda.
The effervescence must be
tough. I have the effervescence in ginger ale. I can't bring it into the cola. I haven't been successful.
You will.
We believe in you.
That's so cool.
Gasoline.
Yes. Ooh. Why do people love the scent of gasoline?
Because they don't really love the scent of gasoline. What they love is the slight scent that's left on their hand after they self-service and fill their car.
Really?
Much more subtle. Yeah. Much more subtle fragrance.
Huh.
You think when it's mixed with skin?
I don't even think that's it. It's like skunk. In very small amounts, it's actually beautiful.
Yeah.
But, you know, when it's too concentrated, it's overwhelming.
Right.
I haven't been able to do gasoline because I cannot get it stable. Hmm. It smells differently from moment to moment, just like the real thing. I can't capture it with the materials.
Well, maybe that's like the authentic gasoline then.
I just haven't been comfortable with it. Another one is gunpowder.
Ooh.
People really love the smell of gunpowder.
I love that note. Yeah.
But every time I try and make it, it comes out too sulfurous.
Yeah, you don't want that.
This is sort of up that same alley. But have you ever thought about doing like the smell of a struck match or a candle that's already gone out? I've always wanted that.
Yes, I've worked on blown out candles several times. And it just, it's either too subtle to make an impact or it's too big to be subtle enough. I can't get it in the right place.
We're giving away too many free ideas right now.
So much nuance.
How do you know, and sorry if this is a boring marketing question because I'm sure there's a lot of marketing that goes into it, but how do you know what fragrance to pursue to bring to market and how do you know when it's the right time for that?
Oh, do you mean how we scientifically decide that? I hold up my finger to the air and see which way it's moving.
Oh my goodness.
One of the great things about being me is I don't have to do any of that stuff. I make the fragrances I love. And that's even an understatement because I try and make things other people love. For example, I don't like eucalyptus, but I'll work with it because people love it. Mm. So it doesn't, it would be silly for me not to incorporate it, in certain things, even though I find it unpleasant.
So you really just sort of follow whatever whim that you have
there's a little more than that to it. About a lot of our best fragrances are inspired by suggestions that I get from our fans. Sunshine, Puppy's Breath, Kitten's Fur, New Baby, those were all fragrances that people asked for. Baby Powder, Pure Soap, those were just ideas that I had. The great thing about my job is up until the pandemic is I spent 3 months of the year just traveling around the world looking for new and different smells. One of the really wonderful things about the job is it started out as an American brand, and a lot of it was about exporting classic American scents. Chocolate chip cookie, angel food cake, apple pie. But as it evolved over all the years, and we really are an export company that sells all over the world, we started capturing scents from those other markets and bringing them back to America. a lot of Asian fragrances. I spent a lot of time in China and brought back a lot of fragrances that we introduced here. Yuzu marmalade, dragon fruit. When we introduced those things, they were not necessarily things that Americans were generally familiar with. Mm-hmm. So it became sort of a cross-cultural effort.
I'm always interested in like the different fragrance cultures mm-hmm. of other countries. And I do feel like Asia in particular is so different from the West in the types of scents they wear, like how loud those scents are, or if they just don't wear scent at all.
It's evolving. Fragrance is a much smaller part of the beauty category historically in Asia than it is in other parts of the world. Then it evolved into the classic French fragrances were all that they wanted to wear. But it's like everywhere else, more democratization of fragrance, more choices, more availability. So I think that kind of usage is getting more uniform around the world. There are places that are more, there are places that use less. But I think generally the way people use fragrance is getting more and more similar rather than more regional.
Right. Yeah, I totally think so too. It's become such more of a basic staple in like self-expression.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's consistent with the way that it's marketed now, which is the bigger companies are generally only interested in licenses and brands that have a broad international application.
That's interesting because I think of that in kind of the same way how celebrity scents are made. Mm-hmm. And how that figure may or may not have a big hand in how the perfume is created. Like, I'm sure the perfumers maybe create a couple options and see what they like the best. But I don't know where I was going with
it's
this.
Like it's like the built-in audience.
Yeah,
it's like the same fragrance could go to Paris Hilton or it could go to YSL.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But it's like, what's going to sell better?
Right. And it depends who you're working with. Different celebrities and different designers want different levels of input.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Into, and how deeply they want to move into that creative process.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you have 20 years experience in the perfume industry. Can you tell us a bit about that?
I'm a lawyer by training. And I
that's handy.
Did a lot of trademark. It is handy. I did a lot of trademark work in my youth and did a lot of that trademark work regarding fragrances. And in the course of that, I learned a lot about the business and particularly about distribution. And I ended up going into the fragrance distribution business, and people who had been my clients became my vendors because I just saw some creative and different ways to distribute fragrance all over the world. And the reason Demeter is primarily an international brand is because that's what my background is. I understand the international markets much better than the American market, just the way my business happened to evolve.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's great.
So it's actually harder to find Demeter here than Russia.
Oh, wow. I was wondering that, like how global Demeter is.
We're really global. We're not well distributed in America.
Wow. Hmm. Why is that?
And that's because of my lack of comfort and expertise.
Oh.
Doing business in America is much more difficult than a lot of other places.
Huh.
Especially for a small company.
I would not have anticipated that.
Do you find that different scents sell differently in different parts of the world, like different markets?
Absolutely.
Yeah, tell us about that.
My top-selling fragrance in China is linden. Nobody knows what linden is in America.
I was just going to say, what is linden?
Like a berry?
Yeah.
It's a flower.
Oh, okay.
But that's exactly the point. It's also, when you're dealing with fragrances inspired by objects, you run into some very interesting things. Our baby powder does not smell like the baby powder in either Germany or China.
Mm.
So it's not meaningful to them.
Yeah.
There's no hook. There's no trigger.
Yeah.
There are things like that that change in every market.
When you are developing new scents, do you ever develop with a specific region in mind? Like, oh, we know this is really going to hit over here. Or is it just truly like you're creating out of like the passion for what you do? And if it sells, it sells.
More the latter.
Okay.
It's not that I never do something, with commercial in mind. Like when we were planning on going into the Middle East, we added oud and frankincense.
Makes sense.
Those were fragrances that were necessary to go into that market the way we were going into it. But 95% of what we do is either because someone suggested it to me and it caught my fancy, or I was out in the world and I smelled something and had a eureka moment.
What was the last eureka moment you had?
Black tea.
Ooh. That's interesting because there's so many black teas.
Yeah. And that's where, you know, the creative choices come in.
Yeah.
So that was a pleasure to work on expressly for that reason. It had to smell like black tea, but I had unlimited choices in what that actually meant within that range.
How do you know where to land and which one to pursue?
Never. I'm very comfortable going with what makes me happy and hoping it makes other people happy too.
On that same note, who is the Demeter customer?
Oh, yeah.
That's an interesting question that I think has changed over the years. It's also partly, we've been around a long time now.
Yeah.
This brand's going to be 21 years old next year. So
old enough to drink.
You know, we're different customers. You know, who we started with is not who our customer is now. I think we have two broad groups of customers. We have an older customer, I would say generally 40 or above, that really likes the transparent fragrances, the synthetic musks, but also our single note florals. You know, we have a different approach to florals than almost anybody else. If you think about single note fragrances, they almost inevitably smell like perfume.
Yeah.
Now, some are fresher than others. Some are more old lady, but it's perfume. We don't make perfume. When you smell our honeysuckle, I want you to think about when you were a kid and you went out and you pulled those buds off the tree, off the vine, and sucked out the juice.
I did that when I was a kid.
Okay. And you know that sparkling smell?
Yes.
That's our honeysuckle. There's not anything like that in the world.
Yeah.
Because no one thinks about, not because it's so, such a technical feat. No one thinks about it that way.
Yeah. No one really zeroes in.
I'm not a trained perfumer. It's the only reason I can run this brand the way I do. If I'm convinced that if I was a trained perfumer, I could not look and think about fragrance the way I look and think about it.
Sure.
Look at it and think about
because
it.
You'd be too affected.
You're taught a certain way. You're indoctrinated into a way of thinking about scent. There are many great perfumers who for a long time turn their nose up at Demeter. No pun intended there, right? Because conceptually, it was not perfume.
Right.
It was something less.
It's like not the same art form to them.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
And I think even you know, Christopher Brocious, who was the original perfumer, ultimately moved on because he felt too constrained. He wanted to do more complex things. I mean, I like to do more complex things too once in a while. I just, you know, find ways to stretch those muscles and, you know, stick with my knitting anyway. So,
I think Demeter is a very unique brand. And with such a large catalog of scents, both current and past, are there any problems that you see that are unique to Demeter that maybe a more typical fragrance house wouldn't have because of your huge library of scents?
Well, there are a couple of problems, and they're all commercial. What I have done doesn't make sense commercial.
Right.
Yeah.
So right away, anyone who came in and bought this company would immediately reduce it to 50 fragrances.
Sure.
And I've resisted doing that because I think there's a gestalt to this brand that I don't want to lose. Yes, I think we could probably actually cut this down, market it traditionally, put it in a beautiful bottle and probably make it a much more commercially successful fragrance. I have so little interest in that.
That would be a totally different brand. That wouldn't be what it is.
Yeah, that's my feeling. This is who we are. It doesn't make sense.
But nobody else does it in the world, which I find fascinating.
That's because it doesn't make sense.
But even from a perspective... I mean, okay, from a commercial perspective, yeah, it doesn't make sense for capitalism, but I'm thinking in terms of like, if there was, I don't know, some sort of rapture or apocalypse, and we needed to keep all of these scents in a library for like old world references.
Right, here we are.
Like,
but it creates a lot of hassle. So for example, right now you've got to register every fragrance separately in Europe.
That's got to be annoying.
Yeah.
Okay. That's and it's hugely expensive.
Yeah.
It's a full-time job, literally. Mm-hmm. Now we live in an era where the materials that we can use in fragrance that are deemed safe on the skin get more and more limited every year. Materials get eliminated. Mm-hmm. The permissible concentrations are lessened. Every time we have to change a formula to maintain current regulatory, we have to re-register it.
Oh my God. That's a nightmare.
Yeah.
And I have to make new labels.
Right. Do you find that messes with the formula of the scent at all?
It sometimes it's meaningless. Sometimes it's not.
Hmm.
So far, we haven't had anything that I felt we needed to discontinue because I couldn't do an adequate replication.
I was going to ask that actually, if like you had to deshelve anything because it didn't.
Now, part of it is also that by the nature of the brand, I'm not doctrinaire. I had to replace Ocean about 7 years ago. I think it smells nothing like the original Ocean.
Hmm.
I think it's at least two steps better.
Oh, well, that's good.
I have no problem with that. It doesn't have to smell like it used to. If that's the one you want and we're not making it anymore, you don't like this one, I'm sorry, return it. And I'm not saying that in any way to be disrespectful or mean, but the world is what it is right now.
Yeah.
And we're not going to not move forward.
Right.
So if I can make something better, I don't mind changing it.
God, that makes me think, what scents do you have that are considered conventionally kind of repulsive or like, you know, like iffy to people?
Lobster.
Oh. A cooked lobster?
Why?
Or a live lobster?
Why?
Braised or boiled or steamed?
I can't answer that question because it existed when I bought the company.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. When I bought the company in 2002, the mission was to create any fragrance you want, no matter how unusual or odd. It took me about 18 months to get my hands around the company. And then I changed that mission to creating great wearable fragrances inspired by real objects and experiences.
Mm, not lobsters.
So that meant we weren't going to make lobsters anymore, exactly.
Sure. Don't you have mildew?
Also predates me.
Okay. Sensing a theme here.
Yeah, I feel like that's a hazard.
I'll tell you the one that was designed to be unpleasant that it turns out is not, are the zombie fragrances.
Ooh.
Oh.
That sounds kind of cool, though. Interesting.
What does it? What does it smell like?
Okay, this is a good story, so I'll share. Okay. My creative director, who unfortunately passed away recently, but we had been working together probably 30 years. So we knew each other really well through two companies. And about 10 years ago, we had done a scented press kit when The Walking Dead launched for AMC.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wow.
That's
cool.
So cool.
Before anyone knew The Walking Dead was going to be The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm. It's like 20 seasons now.
Believe me, I don't know what I would have extracted, but it would have been much better than whatever I got. But as a result of that, we were huge fans. And they came out after a couple of years with that Dead Me app, which made you take your own picture and it make you look like a zombie.
Okay.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
So I did that and I sent it to her as a joke. And she turned it into a label on a Demeter bottle and sent it back to me.
Yes.
And said, we should do this for April Fools. And I said, this is Demeter. If we're going to do this for April Fools, there actually has to be a fragrance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People will not believe that was a joke and they can't buy this. So how am I going to make a zombie fragrance that's not awful? For Demeter, which smells like what the thing is.
Right.
Yeah.
So I basically tried to put together what the forest floor would smell like.
Oh, that's
dead
nice.
Leaves, mildew, dirt, mushrooms. There's some other stuff in there. Yeah. And I thought that it didn't smell too awful and would be a great April Fool's joke. We've been selling it now for 10 years.
Wow. Damn.
And it gets consistent 5-star reviews, which I do not understand.
Wow. That's incredible.
That does sound really good, though.
I know. I was just thinking that. I'm like, that sounds really pleasant, actually. Yeah.
I can't explain it because I was actually not trying to make a 5-star fragrance.
Well, another one of those happy accidents.
Yeah.
So absolutely.
Life hands you zombie lemons.
Absolutely.
How do you think Demeter holds up today in the current fragrance landscape of not only legacy brands, but newer brands and also like influencer brands and all the direct-to-consumer fragrance brands that we're seeing where you're essentially buying a fragrance without ever smelling it? How do you feel like the Demeter concept competes?
Well, I think that we have the advantage that we've always had that has become really bigger and better in an online world, which is people know that we smell like the name. We've been around long enough. I think now that people who know the name have an expectation of what the fragrance is going to smell like. They expect it to be good about whatever that thing is. So I think that's to our advantage. And I think it's worked out that way. And I also think we've done a good job of keeping it fresh and new. So, you know, the puppy's breath, the kitten fur, the pixie dust customer is a much younger customer. Mm-hmm. And I think we've managed to stay current. In fact, I still think we're a little edgy. We're not ever going to be the radical breakthrough that we were 25 years ago, because to be that, we'd have to be a $300 fragrance today, and that just doesn't interest me.
Thank goodness.
Yes. And,
you know, because that's what you'd have to put into to make something that would be that kind of unique in this environment. But we've been able to do what we do and deliver a value day in and day out for a long time. And I don't see any reason why that should stop.
We love reliability.
Yeah, and accessibility. We're all about it.
Yeah. One last question. Where can we find Demeter fragrances in the U.S.?
Like I said, our brick-and-mortar footprint is almost non-existent in America.
Right.
If there's something particularly you want, the best place to get it is DemeterFragrance.com.
Okay.
So if you want a violet body lotion, we're probably the only place you're going to find it.
Wow.
Wow.
So now you know what it would be like to smell like a zombie.
Yeah, right?
I really want to smell that now.
I do too.
Yeah.
Let's just request it.
Let's just request it, yeah.
They sent me so many.
Oh God, I didn't get in on that just because...
You still can. There is still time.
Okay, all right. We'll do it.
Okay. I got a good spread too. We should...
Like, they're like trading cards. We'll like bring them over and be like, what do you got?
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
When I was researching this episode, I knew that they did a ton of scents, mm-hmm. but seeing them all listed out on their site, I was
insane.
Truly like, God, I have so many questions.
Yeah.
They just do so, so much.
Almost like I'm like, what is there left to smell? And like how wild can you get?
How wild? And like, what are your warehouses look like?
Yeah.
And like all of it.
Truly. I realized we could have asked these questions during the interview, but oh well.
You know, we put him through a lot.
Yeah, we put him through the paces.
Yeah,
and he was very generous.
He was.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes, you know, with all the dumb shit I like to smell like, sometimes you just want to smell like a cupcake.
Yeah.
Like literally. And
puppy's breath.
Well, not that.
I'm curious to know what that smells like, but...
I'm not.
What's the breed?
I can go to my grave without ever knowing that.
I've smelled a puppy's breath. It's not great.
I'm fine with... I'm not... I don't need to smell... I smell enough in
kitten
my life.
Fur. Nope. I would like to smell that.
Nope.
Kittens smell...
I don't need to smell kittens. I don't need to smell puppies. I don't need to smell babies. I don't need to smell mammals.
No animals.
No. Nah.
Snail.
I'm sure they have one. They have mildew.
That's true. I want to smell a snail.
That's the next one.
Yeah. Anyway, that was our episode for this week. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll ask you a question later today if you're listening in the morning.
Yeah. Tell us what your favorite Demeter fragrance is.
And or what you want them to do.
Literally
everything that he said he couldn't get right yet, that's what I want. We've already talked about gasoline.
Yep.
We're going to do an episode on gasoline. We just have to figure out how the hell we're going to do that.
Yep.
I always have wanted a fragrance of a candle when it's gone out.
Yes. Extinguished flame.
Yeah. And what
cola.
Cola. Oh my God.
Yeah.
There's a Killian scent. One of the new ones that has a cola note. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I think of like cola flavored candy a lot.
Mm-hmm. Happy Cola. Flavor. I love Happy Cola. Yes. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. When I was still in the office before this
I want them now.
Fuck shit happened, I would take a walk at lunch and I'll always come back with like 3 bags of Happy Cola. And my coworkers would be like, again? And I'd be like, listen.
Well, you can't have any.
Yeah. It's like, is that or like chewing my nails off? What do you want?
No more Happy Cola. No
more Happy Cola. They have some of the sour ones, which are like not.
I love all gummy candies.
Same. I just love chewing.
Yeah. I don't actually like chewing gum.
And I'm like, what's the point here? Where's this going?
Yeah. It makes my tummy all crunchy. Anyway, follow us on Instagram at smellylater.mp3. I am at Sabletooth Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck. And we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Smell you later.
Smell you later.